If you love all things gardening, why not join us at our Spring Fair from the 3rd to the 5th of May at Bewley in Hampshire? You'll find everything you need to kickstart the season. Find out more at bbcgardenersworldfair.com. See you there.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the BBC Gardeners World magazine podcast, brought to you by the team here at the magazine. Join us as we chat all things gardening with the nation's favourite experts.
Hello and welcome to this BBC Gardeners World magazine podcast on cooking delicious meals from homegrown harvests with me, Adam Frost. I don't think anything beats growing your own food. It's healthy, you know, it tastes incredible. You can experiment with a million and one different varieties, and I think it's an awful lot better than what you get from your local shops. Sorry to say that, but I think it's true. That bit, growing, I seem to be reasonably okay at. When it comes to the cooking, I love cooking. Am I as good? No, definitely not. So what I've done is I've gone and got myself a new best foodie friend, eh? And her name is...
Cassie Best from Good Food.
And what this lady does not know about cooking, she takes me into worlds that, wow, are amazing. So, boom, my friend, what are we talking about today?
Today we're going to talk about courgettes, marrows, squash and pumpkins.
Hey, rock and roll. Right, Cassie. Pumpkins, squashes, courgettes. Let's open it up to marrows as well, because they take me right back to being a kid. All right, so my first job growing for tidy Nan and Grandad, I was in charge of the marrow heap.
Okay.
All right. And that was definitely one of those vegetables that my Nan took every single drop of flavour out of. You might as well have mashed them up, you know. And actually, over the years, it's interesting, when I was a kid, it was only ever marrow. I don't think, you know, obviously squashes and pumpkins and things like that were about, but it was never anything that I ate. It was all about the marrow, you know. So that's been fine-tuned, you know, us as gardeners grow so much more. But how good for you is that group of plants?
Yeah, I mean, they're packed with vitamins and minerals. They contain beta-carotene, which is good for eye health and immunity. So like all vegetables out there, you know, they are a complex mix of different vitamins and minerals. But yeah, really good for you.
Yeah, they're good. And what about you? When did you, was it when you got into cooking? Was it something as a kid with mum grew cook or...
Yeah, oh, so I definitely remember a few marrows knocking around, and similar to you, they'd be overcooked. I remember them being really watery and flavourless and not something that I wanted on the plate at all.
No.
So I wasn't really a fan when I was younger, to be honest, but I've definitely changed my mind as I've grown older.
Yeah, the sort of the cooked green of a marrow was not in a very nice green, was it?
No, it really wasn't. And I think back then as well, you know, my mum and dad didn't use much in the way of spices in their cooking. So nowadays, if I'm cooking marrow, it doesn't have loads of flavour, does it? So I'll bring some nice spices into the dish and that really elevates it. But back then, it was just kind of boiled or roasted and it wasn't very appetising.
No, whereas now, you think, you know, squash available, and even pumpkins seem to have really appeared on the scene in the last 5-10 years unless I wasn't really paying attention. But now, you know, if it comes up towards the 31st of October, you get out in the countryside, you see pip your own pumpkin.
And oh, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Listen, this is a big thing for my kids around that time of year when, you know, Halloween's knocking on the door. Pumpkin patches, pumpkins everywhere. It's a big deal, isn't it? And you, even in the supermarkets, you see so many different varieties now. And I think people use them as, you know, an ornament around the home. And then hopefully they're eating them as well as using them as an ornament, because I hate to think that there's so many going to waste.
Exactly. When you talk about ornaments, right? You know, in the horticulture world, growing big pumpkins is a big deal, all right? So I've got a mate who has held the world record for the biggest pumpkin, all right? So he grew the biggest pumpkin. He then carved the inside out, you know, all the mush, as to call it, all the seeds and bits and pieces, and made it into a boat.
Wow.
And then took it on a lake.
And
actually, seriously, I'm not winding you up. He took it on a lake. And literally paddles his way across the lake.
Wow. Oh, my God. I need to see some evidence of this.
Certainly. I'm telling you the truth. I am. So when it comes to growing them, have you grown any of those bits and pieces at all?
I've grown lots of courgettes. I think that's the one thing lots of people grow, isn't it? And they come with the bonus of having the flowers as well, which I love to stuff and deep fry or cook in lots of different ways. But I like to grow courgettes, green ones, yellow ones. They look gorgeous. You get loads. They're really easy to grow. So that's the one thing from this group that I have grown quite a few of. But I've never kind of delved into the pumpkins or the squashes or anything else.
And I think probably if you were new to gardening, the courgette's the place to start. And they're probably one vegetable, because they do so well in most people's gardens, you know, you end up with one of those spiralers and God knows what else, you know, just to sort of deal with the courgettes. But actually, I think you could do a whole book on how to make a courgette. It's probably edible to children as well. With mine, I used to have to sort of cut them in half and then I'd take the seeds out and then I'd actually chop all that mix up and then I'd mix that back up with breadcrumbs and sort of like a cheesy sauce and then I'd put it back in and disguise them and then they'd eat them, you know.
But, see, I struggle with my kids. I'm not there yet with the courgettes. I'm going to keep persevering, but, you know, I have to chop them up quite small and mix them into something at the moment to get them to eat them. But the chunks are going to get bigger and they're going to have to get used to it.
Yeah. Or you could end up, you know, with a Mrs. Frost who still doesn't like them, you know, in her late 40s. I still have to disguise them from her. Done. Just eat it. I'm getting the kids to eat it. So please eat it.
But like so many things, I think you maybe just haven't tried it in the right way yet. You know, courgettes can be quite bland and watery like the marrow. But if you have really good courgette fries, they're super crispy and delicious. Or like you say, in some kind of cheesy gratin baked in the oven. So good. How could you not like that?
No, you're right. And actually the flowers, I always look at the flowers and think, I'd love to do something cool with those. And you said about, you know, stuffing them. And it's the obvious thing to stuff them a bit cheesy based like I've do with colouring the stuff, or what else would you stuff them with?
So I like to stuff them with a ricotta mix. So ricotta, mint, chilli, a bit of parmesan as well. Pop that into a piping bag and fill them up and twist them closed, dip them in like a tempura kind of batter and deep fry them and drizzle with honey as well.
You're doing it again.
I can't help it. That is just one of the highlights of the year for me. They are so delicious cooked like that. I absolutely love them.
Yeah, they are. There's something, it's the sweetness as well of the flour, and you realise that there's a lot more going on than just, you know, the basic courgette flavour, really, anyway. So when it comes to growing them, I mean, to be fair, if I look at that as a group, if we start with the courgettes, I've grown them quite happily in the garden. Again, they're another one that I've put in the border. Sometimes when I've been even creating gardens for other people, the first couple of years when we're filling voids, I'll use scrambling plants like that in borders just to get people going. And so, you could grow something like that in an ornamental kitchen garden, in the ornamental garden, containers, good size containers. The only thing you find is I tend to grow them in a good size container, but a sort of wider flatter container on the basis that they tend to go scrawling all over the place. Yeah. And if it's got to come a long way off the pot, sometimes the top of that plant becomes a little bit vulnerable, you know. Mm-hmm. So the lower they are to the ground, the better. In fact, actually, when I moved back into the house I was in, I grew squash in the first year in one of the beds, and I went away for a couple of weeks. I come back and the squash had gone up the hedge and out onto the main road.
Wow.
Literally, yeah, yeah. I had this sort of, I was driving past thinking, that's a squash growing out of my way. But it was starting to fruit. So actually, I had to go out on the pavement and throw the squash back over the hedge, you know. But yeah, growing them. So as far as that's concerned, containers, veg garden, as I said. But what I tend to do, I suppose, is get seeds going probably about, I would say, maybe April time, late March, early April. Again, it goes back to that thing, you know, of it's not fixed anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so if you've got somewhere you can do it, you know, indoors. If not, then I would probably sow something like that outside, probably in about May time. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the good things about those plants is they will produce late onto the season. You know, I've been known to be picking sort of squashes from the garden in November.
Yeah.
You know, going and bits and pieces like that. So I would sow those individually in pots, probably about 8 centimetre to a litre pot. Mm-hmm. It's a little tiny little, it's the seed in the middle. So it's a tiny little, you know, flat seed. A peat-free compost. I planted probably, you know, a couple of centimetres into that pot, cover it off and then go. And they come up like weeds. Really, you know, okay. I then would grow it on indoors, and then I would start to get to a point where I harden it off, you know, and what I mean by that is if it's in the greenhouse or if it's in a conservatory, as we start to get into late April, early May, you know, late May, I'm just either opening the greenhouse up, I'm teasing it in and out of the greenhouse so that I'm not shocking this plant. And again, it's one of those, don't go too early. Mm. You know, because you've got them growing and you're keen to get going.
Yeah.
But if you put them into cold soil, they'll just sit there like that.
Okay.
You know, they'll get a little bit grumpy. And also because of the way they grow, it's a hollow, sort of more tubular type stem.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be a little bit rocky in the ground. So all of us, you know, you get them in early. We have a few windy days or wet, windy days. Big leaves, they get battered, and of course you're just shocking the plant, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then really leave plenty of room. I think that's the one thing as well. You're putting out a plant that probably looks about the size of your hand, but this thing is going to cover more than what we've got in front of us table-wise. And I think sometimes when we talk about, you know, growing courgettes, of course, you buy a packet and you've got 10 seeds in it. I'm going to grow 10 seeds, you know. And the problem is then you've probably got, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 odd courgettes to deal with through the season. So for me, you know, that go easy, you know. So I'd plant one, maybe two, and then what I'd do is always make sure they're different varieties.
Because
again, you probably noticed, you know, now when we go and buy courgettes, when I first started growing courgettes, it was all about the green thing.
Yeah.
You know, the green long thing. Now, oh, wow, you can get every single different courgette growing.
Yeah.
And it goes back variety, and, you know, you grow your own. So, but that's growing it, you know, keep it watered. It'll work its way away and then you'll be picking courgette. It is that simple. You know, put a little bit of goodness into the ground. Anything else apart from that? I don't think so, really. There really are an easy one. I say that seed, one seed in a pot.
Yeah.
Because when you don't want to disturb the roots of that plant once it gets going, that's it, job done. So now you can tell me how, because the nation will be sat there going, in horticulture, we laugh because we joke that, you know, courgettes are a thing that we're all absolutely rammed out with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me what we're going to do with a courgette.
It's the same in the cook's kitchen, actually. So, I mean, on the Good Food website, there are certain touch points in the year when the search for certain things just, you know, skyrockets. One's blackberries, pancake day, and the other big one is courgettes.
Yeah.
So when it's courgette season, we know about it because, you know, you get 100 times the results of, you know, people wanting recipes for courgettes and new ideas, because I think after the first couple of meals with the courgettes coming out of your garden, people quite quickly get bored of them and want something a bit more interesting. So, I mean, we've got hundreds of recipes on the website, but a few of my favourite ways to cook them. I really like them in a pasta dish where you slowly cook courgettes in quite a lot of olive oil and garlic, so they're almost collapsing and they become really soft and like jammy, which isn't a way we eat courgettes very often.
Yeah.
But they are really, really delicious and silky. And if you have that tossed through some spaghetti with some parmesan or pecorino, that's delicious. So simple. All it needs is a bit of garlic, really good olive oil, and plenty of olive oil. That's like one of the key ingredients.
Yeah.
And a bit of chili. Really, really delicious. Courgette curry is really good as well. They work really well with spices, just like we said with marrows. You know, they can take on a lot of spice because they are quite a bland vegetable. So I really like them in a curry cooked down. And then, you know, if you want to preserve them, you've got things like pickles and chutneys as well, which they don't always have the nicest colour, do they, when you preserve courgettes? But they can carry flavours really, really well. So you can make a really delicious chutney with coriander seeds and cumin seeds.
Nice.
A bit of turmeric in there, make almost like a piccalilli type, you know, pickle.
Yeah.
And then you can enjoy it for months and months to come. I mean, there's just so much you can do with courgettes, isn't there?
Yeah, you're selling it, girl. You're selling
it. I hope so.
you definitely are. I think, as a veg grower, if you're new to growing veg, they've got to be a go-to, because very rarely are you not successful with courgettes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And actually, interestingly, we talk about, you know, having lots of them. And not necessarily everybody liking them because they can, you know, feel a little bit blander. But you've obviously brought that to life. But actually, sometimes I find that, you know, like maybe using a yellow courgette or something like that, because people seem to, with their eyes, straight away, oh, it's green, it's courgette.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, the yellow throws them a little bit. And it's easier for me to get my kids to work a yellow one into a dish.
Yeah.
And without them really commenting.
Yeah.
You know, so whether they think that maybe it's a little bit more like a squash or something like that.
Yeah. And like, you touched on spiralizer earlier as well. Like a huge trend a couple of years ago to spiralize the courgettes, wasn't it? And with the yellow courgettes as well, they look, you know, quite a lot like spaghetti, don't they?
So that's exactly
another really good way to eat them
and
actually hardly cook them at all. Because they're nice raw as well, you know. If you really thinly slice them or spiralise them, toss them through a nice vinaigrette, they're delicious in a salad. And I don't think we eat them raw very often.
No, I actually, you know, if I'm out gardening and, you know, there's a young one kicking around, I'd pick it up a bit like a cucumber and just start munching on and they're really tasty. I've been known just to eat the flowers, but they're really tasty like that, just as a tiny little snack. But then you're taking it straight off the plant and that's a different experience from, you know, buying one and then bringing it home and trying to gnaw on it, you know.
Yeah.
So hopefully we've got a few people thinking, give the courgette a go.
Yeah, I hope so. I know lots of people out there are always looking for ideas, so there's lots of them to dive into.
Yeah, cool. Mm. So squashes.
Mm-hmm.
I think squash is a really cool vegetable.
I agree. And they're so varied in their varieties, aren't they? I tried spaghetti squash for the first time last year and loved it. It's really interesting, such a different texture.
And if you think about this as a plant, and when I talk, you know, I rattle on about this idea of ornamentals and edibles coming together.
Mm.
You know, look at all the different squashes there are out there. You know, do a little bit of research. And you know, like we said, we see fields of pumpkins now. You know, if you leave some of these squashes in your garden for a little bit longer than you are, actually, you've got these little pieces of sculpture.
Yeah.
They are absolutely incredible. I mean, as far as growing, it's the same sort of process, really, as the courgette. All I would say is that I'm not always as successful with, you know, so I work a lot of goodness into the soil. I make sure they've got a sort of a decent sunny spot. Whereas I feel like sometimes I could forget about a courgette for a few days. I will always check on the squash, just make sure that it's bit protected, this, that, the other. And I suppose that's the other thing I didn't say. Sometimes when I do first part, put them out, I might just cover them a little bit just with fleece, just to protect them, just till they get their roots in the ground and get them going. But yeah, the growing thing is pretty much the same. So I think, you know, for me, this one is all about the cooking, girl. All about the cooking.
Well, I want to know first, what varieties do you grow? Because it's a similar story in the shops. All you see kind of year-round is the butternut squash, isn't it? And there's so many out there. So what are the other kind of varieties that you would suggest
looking
for? So
there's one called Sweet Max, I think it was called, that I did this year. But normally, I because there's so many of them, I try a different one each year.
Okay.
That's what I do. Yeah. I don't tend to stick with them. And it's the same with the courgettes, really. Yeah. I'm a gardener, aren't I? You know, so that's new. Oh, I haven't seen that before. Mm. Oh, wow. And that's the joy of it, though.
Yeah.
You know, what's that going to look like? What's it going to taste like? And they say you don't get that. So, yeah, Sweet Max. And they were really good. And Sweet Max, exactly as it says on the tin. And I think that's one of the things that I like about, you know, squashes, is that they can taste incredibly sweet. Just roasted down. Mm. The texture, I'd love, but just roasted them. I mean, I did a dish the other day, and ultimately, I can't remember her name. I think she's done some writing for you. She has for the magazine as well. But like, does a lot of sort of tin bake things.
Okay.
And you probably remember her name in a minute, because I won't, because I'm older than
Rukmini.
You are. That's it.
Yeah,
So this tray bake, all right, was sweet corn, which I grow. And I'd had a few that were, I'd picked them because the weather was changing, and I'd put them to one side, and Coco the Clown, if I forgot about them, didn't I? So, and being the idiot that I am, but they were still all right, but they'd lost that real freshness. So I had those. I had some squashes that I'd picked, put in the garage. I cut those up. I halved these sweet corns, and then I had some black bean. A couple of tins of black bean, put that in, and then some cumin, ground coriander, and what else did I put in? There's definitely I oiled it over, and there's another herb that I can't think. Anyway, put this in the oven for 45 minutes. Oh, wow.
Sounds great.
But also, it looked amazing.
Yeah.
Sweet chili, I put, you know, nice. Like sweet chili flakes.
Yep.
So it was quite, it looked Mexican because the colour, the oranges, and then it was done under a hot heat. So it was sort of 200 odd degrees. And so, you know, they charred a little bit.
Yeah, nice.
And then when we brought it out, I did some fresh coriander that I've got, spring onions, and then sour cream, served it with sour cream and some rice. The mix of flavours was magical. You know,
that sounds really good.
But when it comes to squashes, you know, what's a basic go-to for somebody, you know, that's never really played with squash or something? And because I think they're a great family vegetable that we should all dip into a lot more.
I agree. And they can be used in so many different ways. I mean, I think they go really nicely with kind of warming spices, which leans into kind of Middle Eastern cooking quite well. So your ground cumins, coriander, like you say, all those nice warming, like cinnamon. And that obviously also leans over to sweet dishes. So they can be used for savoury and sweet. It's interchangeable. But I really like them roasted up with some of those spices and then tossed through like a grainy salad with some feta, that kind of thing. But like you say, they're great for kids as well because kids love anything sweet, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
So I might put some through some mac and cheese, you know, blitz half of it, roast it up, blitz half, stir that through the mac and cheese and then leave half of it in chunks as well. And it adds a lovely colour, it adds a bit of sweetness, really, really gorgeous. Soup, obviously, is a go-to. They're sweet and creamy, which we're going to be talking more about at the end.
Oh.
Stay tuned. but yeah, I mean, they are just so great. Like you say, they can be used in kind of Mexican dishes, in like a veggie chili. They're really good to bulk out with some beans and peppers and onions. They're just so versatile, aren't they? And so delicious, like you say. My favourite way to cook them is definitely to roast them, or I stick them in my air fryer now. Big fan of the air fryer, and they just become caramelized and sweet and gorgeous, and you can put them with everything.
Yeah, cool. Air fryer any good?
I love my air fryer. I'm such a convert. Yeah.
Problem is, like, over the years we've bought all those different things, you know,
I know.
That come out, and then you know, Mrs. Frost, it's all a great idea for like 10 minutes and then she doesn't like it out on the side.
Well,
and then...
this is the thing. If you've got somewhere you can put it out of the way, it's great. And I would also say it's great for cooking smaller portions.
Yeah,
but if you're cooking for a big family, it's not as convenient. Certainly the one that I've got, which isn't very big. But if you just want to, like I say, roast some squash, which is then going into a salad with some other bits, I tend to use it for half a dish, you know. So instead of turning the oven on to roast a tray of vegetables, I'll stick those in the air fryer and then that will go into an omelette or whatever else I'm cooking. I'm definitely a convert. I mean, I don't like all these gadgets, but I'm on board with the air fryer.
No, cool. Well, maybe I'll try again with her.
Yeah, you know, go.
She'd say we buy them, they're out for a few weeks and then they go in. And then, of course, once they're not in sight, I'm a bloke, I forget they exist.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cool. So, yeah, so squashes, that's absolutely brilliant. I suppose the final one really is that idea of pumpkins.
Mm.
And as I said to you, you know, pumpkins have become a big deal. You see them, you know, at the end of the year, at Malvern, they have a massive sort of show and people, you know, they come and they show their large vegetables off, you know. And some of these pumpkins, no word of a lie, look like beanbags.
Right, so I walked past this allotment once.
Yeah.
And a man was watering his, feeding his pumpkin with milk. He was pouring milk over it. Is this urban legend?
No, I tell you what, when you start talking to this, and I always look upon them and they're magical. So when I was at this show, I was doing my stuff and there was this big tent of just these huge vegetables.
Yeah.
And I had to go in to do a photograph thing, you know. And anyway, I was watching three of them and one had a marrow that was, you know, come up nearly to your chest.
Yeah.
The other one had the longest parsnip you'd ever seen. And the other one was, you know, he had his pumpkin on the floor, which literally looked like a beanbag. But these men, they were all fellas in there, but they looked happy. They looked like they were with their tribe, you know. And but then you started talking to them. And they all had these little tricks of how they grow and they would put frames over them and they would concentrate on just growing the one pumpkin and they had all these little methods of feeding it and doing this and doing that. And that's another magical life outside of growing a few things to cook. It can become quite obsessive, you know.
So,
there's lots of tricks and bits and pieces. So pumpkins I haven't grown much over the last few years. I think they were a thing I did a lot with my kids were younger and it was lovely, you know. For a few years I used to do four pumpkin plants, you know, four kids, and then get them engaged and hopefully, you know, that's yours, that's yours, that's yours, and then we would do the whole carving thing, you know. But growing wise I would say more or less the same process of the squashes, you know, starting them off seed in a pot. But you can buy all these plants as well. When I said about seed, if you look at courgettes, if you look at squashes and you look at pumpkins, you know, they can all buy those ready to go. I just wouldn't put them out until early May, even going into June, especially where I live. But that process is pretty much the same. Put some work into the soil and away you go. But yeah, but if you're an average little veg garden at home, you probably don't want a lot more than one pumpkin plant, because these things will sprawl. They will do their thing. So if you are going to plant them, you're planting these things probably just over a meter apart, you know. But you grow them on, you create this massive thing. Like you said, you know, a lot of pumpkin growing in the country is all aimed for the 31st of October, where you see them then just sat in fields and bits and pieces. Cooking it wise, I think America and pumpkin pie and all that sort of thing. Pumpkin, maybe soup.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Very similar to the squash, really. I'd kind of treat it the same, but it does have those connotations of kind of Thanksgiving and American pumpkin spice latte. You know, it's become like the pumpkin season, hasn't it? Halloween.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more, you know, it's kind of indicative of the season, the pumpkin. So there's a lot you can do with it and it works really well in dessert. So like you say, pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
I've got a really good recipe on the website for pumpkin cinnamon rolls. So you use the pumpkin puree in the dough and it makes them really soft and fluffy. And then you've got like a cream cheese frosting on top, which is just so good.
You're doing it again.
Oh, I can't help it. And there's pumpkin pancakes on there as well, like the thick, fluffy American style pancakes that you fold pumpkin puree again into the batter. And they're just delicious.
That
with maple syrup and pecans.
I'll give that a go. That does sound, you know. That
really
versatility of savoury and sweet.
Yeah.
It's great,
isn't it? There's very few vegetables out there, isn't there, that they can translate that well. Obviously, we've got carrot cake and courgette cake is now a thing. But pumpkin, the flavour of pumpkin just works so well in so many different ways. It's definitely one of my favourite vegetables, so I need to start growing them.
Yeah, I think when you think about it, that versatility, again, if you haven't got much space, you know, where you can go sweet with it, you know, or you can then, it takes spice really well.
Yeah.
You know, that's a cool friend to bring to the party, isn't it?
It's
and I think
really
that's an interesting way, if you're going to grow veg, obviously I'd always say grow what you love.
Yeah.
But actually, if you've got limited space, it's a lovely way of joining this up now, thinking I'm growing this because it's versatile.
Yeah.
You know, I can make a pudding out of this. I could also, you know, I can knock up a lovely savoury dish. And I think that's a great way of thinking about what we're going to grow, you know, look at the diversity of what it's going to bring to the table. It's a good, I've never really thought about growing veg like that, so you've just helped me do that. There you go.
I think the other thing with pumpkins is they're so many of them go to waste. And a lot of the pumpkins that are grown for carving are quite bland, so people don't cook with them. And I would really encourage people to, if you are going to buy one of the carving pumpkins, don't carve it a week before Halloween and let it go, you know, mouldy on the doorstep. Carve it on the day, put it out, and then take it in and turn it into a soup, which brings us on to
what I bought
today.
You're just like, that was seamless. Like a, you know, just ultimate professional. I mean, you know, making me look quite inadequate, but thank you very much. But, you know, but they don't expect professionalism off me anyway, so we're all right. But
I'm
go on.
I'm bringing it back to the food.
Go on.
Okay, so I've brought along with me a classic, really creamy pumpkin soup. And this is definitely one of my favourite ways to serve up pumpkin. Like I say, it's a great way to avoid waste because you can add cream and you can add spice to boost the flavour if it is one of those more watery carving pumpkins. Don't waste it. Put it into a soup. You can even blitz up the skin, you know, roast it in chunks with the skin on so you're not wasting anything. Roast the seeds as well. Make sure they don't go to waste. Sprinkle them on top. And I mean, pumpkin soup, it's just so delicious.
You're
isn't
doing
it
again.
I said,
seriously,
can't
like,
help
you make,
it.
You make, there's, I've been listening, obviously, I listen carefully to you because I am totally and utterly fascinated with food, but you draw these little words out, so it's creamy, and it's like, there's certain words, you know.
I can't help and it, then, excites
and
me.
And then I know, and then I'm here like a little Labrador puppy, just sort of, you know, listening, going, that sounds amazing, that's amazing.
But, right, let's eat the soup, come
let's
on.
Let's eat the soup,
let's
go
get
on
involved.
Then.
Wow. So this is a classic pumpkin soup. It's just made by roasting the pumpkin. There's a few herbs in there, a bit of thyme, cream, stock. It's really simple, but you could add some spices to it. And then on top, we've got some croutons, which are just fried off in some oil, and some roasted pumpkin seeds, like we said.
Wow.
So dive in, let me know what you think.
Yeah, that looks incredible, doesn't it?
It does look good.
Also, again, it's the texture of it, the colour of it.
Oh, it's good. And I mean, some of the other pumpkin varieties, aside from the carving pumpkins, like the Crown Prince, they have so much flavour.
Oh,
they're dense and sweet, and they're packed with flavour, and that really comes through in the soup.
Mm. That is lovely.
Makes a good lunch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dear me.
Uh-oh, we're making a mess. Mm.
That feels like I've got home.
Like a hug in a bowl.
Does that make sense? You know, that literally
hug
feels like I've got... Oh, that is amazing.
Yeah, really good.
I would say, people, give that a go. I think, you know, that is absolutely lovely. And I think, to be fair, though, that... You know, you said a nice lunch. I'd be proud to put that on a table for a, you know, a nice sort of dinner party, really. A nice winter dinner party.
Yeah, it
looks
quite fancy.
Beautiful.
Christmas dinner starter.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. there you go. It might well be on the list. Well, my dear, as per normal, thank you very much. That's amazing. I'm just in, you know, my little foodie dreamy world now, but which is it's becoming a lovely place to go to. So thank you very much.
Your pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this BBC Gardeners World magazine podcast with me, Adam Frost, and of course, Cassie Best. For more information on the recipes we've discussed today, go to bbcgoodfood.com.